DW Africa Link.
Sexual violence is on the rise in Tanzania, and it's causing public outrage. So what impact is this having on people's lives, and how can the crisis be better addressed? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Tanzania is facing a major crisis of sexual crime. National statistics reports suggest that cases continue to increase. Rights activists have also been concerned about the rate at which children are also falling victim to some of these sexual crimes. UNICEF reports that in countries like Tanzania, where nearly one in three girls experiences sexual abuse before the age of 18, the police must intensify their efforts to secure successful prosecutions. To dig into the crisis and why the country is struggling to deal with it, let's welcome my guests. Dr. Anna Henga is the Executive Director for Legal and Human Rights Center in Tanzania. She's a lawyer and women's rights expert. Hello and welcome to Africa Link, Doctor.
Hello, Eddie. Nice for having me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on board. Also joining me is my colleague, Naomi Achieng, DW correspondent in Tanzania. Hello, Naomi.
Hi, Eddie. I'm happy to be here.
I am happy to have you here. So let me start with you, Dr. Anna Henga. We're talking about increasing cases of sexual violence in Tanzania. How bad is it really on the ground?
Yeah, I think the most violated group on sexual violence are children, followed by women and other groups such as people with disabilities and the elderly. But in terms of number, how bad it is, it is almost for 50%. For children in Tanzania, for instance, for the latest report of 2023, 45% of children have been abused of their rights. And of the 45, again, 80%, 80, more than 80, it's sexual violence. And of the sexual violence, again, against children, the 80%, more than 60% is against the boy child. So there's rape and also the boy child being abused sexually. And for women, it's 30%, and about 10% is rape and other abuses, gender-based violence abuses. And right. it has been like that for four years. It has been like that. So it's not something which is only 1 year or isolated. Mm. Yeah.
Right, right. I mean, it sounds like a very serious case on the ground. What do you think is causing the rise in these cases?
I think it's due to patriarchy, especially for women or against women. Because in our setting in Tanzania, in case East Africa and Africa, you find the men dominating all spheres of life, socially, culturally, economically, and everything. So a man will also think maybe he owns this lady, he owns the children, and he can do whatever to those people. And another thing, I think, for children is also because of the economic situation of our country or East Africa and other places, because people are busy in looking for money, looking for school fees of the children to feed their children, so they neglect their children. For instance, in Tanzania, you find a person leaving at home very early and going back very late. And in between here, the child would be alone, or sometimes with a maid, maybe who is also not well trained on how to care for the children. And also, we have a culture of living with relatives. Yeah, relatives from the villages, those relatives sometimes are jobless, so they sleep with the children, they abuse them, and we are not there as parents to take care of the children. So those are some of the reasons for those incidences or abuses.
Right. A rather gloomy picture you're painting for us on the ground there. Naomi, you are our correspondent on the ground, and you've been reporting on some of these cases. What have you reported on so far? What are people telling you?
Eddie, here in Tanzania, we had informative and emotional debates and discussions regarding these incidents of rape and sexual crimes. And unfortunately, recently, they have been happening back to back, enough to scare the community. It seems like neither children nor adults are safe anymore. And a lot of these cases has been reported in media. We are witnessing a 30-year to lifetime imprisonment, but the debate remains as to why these strict laws have not changed anything and have not helped the and have not kept us safe. And you can think why the rape or other sexual crimes statistics bar keeps going up. Why now? We have had government officials, police, gender-based violence activists, and some victims in the ongoing debates and discussion. And in fact, it is like the media is awakening the sleeping giant. I can say that.
Right. Dr. Anahenga, something key that Naomi just mentioned, that, you know, which is one of the reasons we are talking about this, because there seems to be an even more increasing number of cases. Tanzania could be described as a conservative society, to some extent at least. So should the increase in cases be seen as a good signal that people are actually reporting more on these cases? Or is it just really a genuine sign that things are getting worse?
I think it's both. It's both ways. For me, see, people like people are reporting now. Due to technology, you can have your call the toll free, and then you call the authorities, or you call legal aid providers like us, or the police. And with technology, also people report on social media. People post a lot on social media. So yes, the reporting has increased, but also the incidences have increased. So it's both ways. And why am I saying the incidences have increased? Because we are not only receiving reports from people who are reporting to us. We are also doing like fact finding the missions, going to the areas, and we find people. Really, there's a challenge. We interview people. We do mass education programs. We ask people what is the situation on the ground. They say the situation is bad. And for us, for instance, LHRC, we do research. We do research on human rights, and we produce the human rights report, the annual human rights report. So we do both ways, like primary collection of data and secondary collection of data. So that's why I say it's also the incidences are increasing.
Right. Naomi, when you're reporting on such cases, also still in connection to finding out if people are emboldened more and more to report such cases, is that what you're also sensing, that people are a bit more confident to approach you to give you a story like that to report on?
For sure, a lot of people are still uncomfortable. And opening up is still a sensitive issue. The stigma, the judgment, the questioning, and the shameful jokes from the society. And social media people make the victim hide and not report to everyone or anywhere to avoid being the laughing stock. People always attack the victims, especially if they are adult or accused in some kind of unknown person. People are like, why, how?
So while maybe a lot more people may be coming out to report, there's still a stigma connected to that. Some people are still afraid to come out to report, is basically what you're saying. Okay. Yes. Doctor, how strong are the laws in Tanzania to serve as a deterrent? Because if that was the case, that would generally push people away or prevent them from committing such crimes, right? Is it are the laws strong enough? Are they being implemented? What is your thought on that?
I would say we have gaps. We have a gap, a very big gap on the laws in Tanzania regarding sexual abuse, because we don't have a law on combating domestic violence, for instance, or sexual violence. We don't have that. And as a human rights activist, we have been advocating for a special or specific law to combat sexual violence against women and against children and domestic violence generally. So I would say laws are not sufficient because we don't have a specific law on that. But also we have laws in different, we have provisions in different laws on sexual violence. For instance, there's a provision in family, in the family law, the law of marriage, which is providing that violence, sexual violence, and other forms of violence can amount to the marriage to be broken down. There's a provision in the Child Act, which just a single provision or two provisions on violence, the provision in the other laws. So they're scattered. The laws are scattered and they're not sufficient. But the same laws, again, they are not implemented easily. They are not implementable. Like if a child is raped, for instance, you have to the hospital to get police form number 3. It is called police form number 3. And then from the hospital, you go to the police. So you find it's a distance. Eh? Maybe you travel for 15 minutes or 30 minutes. In towns, but in villages, you can travel for an hour to go to the hospital. Then from the hospital, you go to the police, and then the case is taken to court. So it takes time because of our infrastructure, also, and the law provides like that. So it's not sufficient. There is not sufficient to tell the truth because of the cumbersome procedures and also for lack of the law on gender-based violence.
It's a cumbersome process which just makes it sometimes uncomfortable for people to come out in the first place and to seek issues to be addressed. Naomi, what are people calling on the government to do now to make sure that it's not so cumbersome and that, you know, they are really taken seriously? Because this is a serious issue. It's been going on for years, increasing for years now. And it has to be tackled. What do people want the government to do?
On this case, Eddie, I believe that addressing these issues involve into two sides. The government, the law enforcement agencies, and the community itself. So let's rely on the government to tackle the crisis. Society must also play the vital role in keeping its people safe. And this does not mean that the government is no longer responsible, but rather that we need additional forces to join in.
Right, Anna Hengard, that is a key point from Naomi. It's all hands on deck to try to deal with this. And when we talk about all people coming on board, we're also talking about, I guess, of course, the civil society, religious groups, and even families, right?
Surely. I totally agree with Naomi that this thing, or this form of abuse, can be tackled by different groups working together, the government, civil society, religious leaders working together. A single group of people cannot at all tackle this. If we leave it to politicians and leave the religious leaders from tackling it, we won't like remove the problem or reduce it. So I think we need to join hands together to work on it. And in Africa, we are lucky. We are prayerful. We pray a lot, be it Muslim, be it Christians, be it other religions. We pray a lot. So we are very confident in our pastors and our sheikh. So if they are used to as trainers or as mass educators, it is easy for the problem to reduce.
Right. And Naomi, when we talk about the media, they also could play a key role in this, can't they? What What do you expect more from the media, Naomi?
Here in Tanzania, for sure, the media is trying to expose these incidents of rape and sexual crimes to a large extent, but they also encouraging people sometimes to report these cases and when they occur in the society. In fact, there are very few programs to discuss these kind of issue, often the media and society, to discuss the cases at speed. Only when media here, only when the incidents trends and emotionally touch their feelings, so then you can see media come outside and start talking about that issue. And also, mass media, for me, such as television, radio, newspaper, and etc., should start special programs here in Tanzania that gives opportunities for victims to open up, as well as campaign. They dig into the root of this problem and to identify where the root of the problem comes from, to help state actors to solve it or to reduce it by also making laws to defend victims from bullies.
Right. Media definitely has a key role to play in all of this, asking the right questions, pushing authorities to give answers to the current situation, constantly reporting on what's going on to draw attention to it. There's just so much more all hands on deck really means. I think it will be an injustice to talk about this without looking at the victims and how well they can be supported to recover from the trauma of facing sexual violence. So let me come to you on that, Doctor. What is the recommendation here? What kind of support do victims need?
Yes, this challenge, if someone has faced, like is a victim, it's a very big one psychologically. And in most cases, people even, there's issues of mental health which affect them. So for me, I'd say, in order to recover from trauma and things like those, victims should be supported with psychological counseling, after legal assistance and others. But I think psychological counseling is very, very important. Also, to give them support, continuous support, like a long-term support of their mental, to support their mental status and mental health. I think that's it. Is the good thing, and most times, psychological support and counseling has been left to private entities or to private counselors. But I think the government should take this as something of very importance by even allocating a budget for that, because 45% of children is not a joke, and it means if a lot of children have their parents. So the number doubles. Even you, as a parent, I cannot be well mentally if my child has been raped, something like that. So I think psychological counseling is essential.
Is it about time, you think, that the government issues a national health emergency of some sort to help tackle this?
Yes. I was talking to the media, I think last week, previous 2 weeks, I was saying this is something the government should come with an ad hoc plan. Like now, this is an emergency. Our children are suffering. Our women are suffering. Let's do something. Yeah, I said something like that, and I recommended the minister responsible for community development to take this as a challenge. Yeah, because it's an emergency.
Right. Naomi, it's based on all the monitoring you've been doing and all the reporting, do you sense that there is an appetite for the government to take it more seriously than it already has?
With how things are right now, Eddie, the changes are far from my side. As I we have a long way to go. We have a lot of change as a society and a country before we see the changes we dream to see.
Right. And what do you think needs to be done now to make the government see how urgent this is, and all stakeholders to see how serious this is?
I think it is time the government and the society to join together to find the root of the problem, actually. So from there, we can get where we can see where are we going to solve this problem. Because if the laws are there, and people sometimes who did those bad things to people are taking on into the police. And you can say that people, we give him, a 30-year. So it is not enough. I think we and government and the society are supposed to come together and to find the roots of this problem. And then maybe we can get a solution on dealing with these issues.
Right. Thank you, Naomi. Final words from you, Dr. Anahenga. Are people angry enough? And if not, should they be even more angry, go out on the streets, protest, because this is a big problem, and maybe that is going to draw authorities' attention? Is that what can be recommended?
not Tanzania. Tanzanians are never angry. That's a challenge. Yeah, you find there's a rape and people are joking around it. They crack jokes on social media around something very serious. I don't know if it's the culture or something. So, yeah, maybe only the laws and the practices would help, but not like people to be angry enough and to go to the street. I don't oversee that for Tanzanians. Yeah, but I like the point of Naomi also on victimizing the victim or blaming the victim. That is very common in Tanzania.
Dr. Anahenga, Executive Director for Legal and Human Rights Center in Tanzania. Also, Naomi Acheng, DW correspondent in Tanzania. Thank you guys very much. Tanzania is not the only African country struggling with rape and other forms of sexual crimes. In 2020, then Liberian President George Weah declared rape a national emergency and ordered new measures to tackle the problem. That was driven by a spike of cases that sparked protests by thousands of Liberians against the menace. The government also established the so-called National Security Task Force on Sexual and Gender-Based Violence. So what gains have been made so far, and what lessons can Tanzania draw from Liberia? Let me bring in Nowu Harris. She's a feminist, human rights, and social justice activist. She's also the youth coordinator of ActionAid Liberia, a human rights organization. Hello, Nowu. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Eddie. It's an honor being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for making the time to connect with us. So, Liberia declared rape a national emergency in 2020. Has that strategy and indeed other measures really helped to address sexual crimes in Liberia?
I would say to some extent, it has helped in some areas, in that we now have a sexual gender-based violence task force at the Ministry of Gender, Children, and Social Protection that is surely responsible to ensure the protection of women, girls, boys in Liberia. And also we have citizens who have made it their duty to ensure that they support in their communities by reporting or reporting cases of harassment, which then also lead to abuse like rape and attempted rape, but also serving as stewards to ensure the communities are protected and everyone can live in an environment that is safe. But in other areas, we're still experiencing some of the cases that we have already done awareness in. These cases are still occurring.
Right. So they've helped, but there's still more room for improvement. What do you think is the current challenge? The reason it's not, you know, as effective as you would have wanted it to be?
Well, I think the major challenge around this whole issue is, you know, Liberia has had its share of war, which led to more violence, more rape cases. And that culture, to really deal with it, it requires, I would say, a robust form of implementation. Even though Liberia has good laws, I would say we have the rape law, We have the domestic violence law. There are a lot of laws we have that are really good, but that requires hands-on and robust implementation, which also again requires resources. And I think that is one of the major challenges we're faced with when it comes to addressing the issue of rape.
Tanzania is also facing a major rape and sexual crime crisis. What lessons do you think it can draw from Liberia to help tackle the problem?
I would say one, Tanzania can ensure that that people are aware that the community leaders serve as stewards in the community to protect its people. I will advise that they include the citizens in every task force or implementation strategy.
Very strong words there. All hands on deck. Unity is strength to tackle this menace. Noel Harris, feminist, human rights, and social justice activist. Thank you very much for your time. That's it from this edition of Africa Link. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Josie Mahachi. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.